Harry's apartment building. Harry had been investing in real estate for about 5 years when he chanced upon what he considered a real opportunity. It was an 8-unit apartment building that the owner wanted to get rid of in the worst way. She was selling direct, FSBO, without an agent. The owner, a widow in her 70s named Sheila, had owned the building for several decades. She had kept it fully occupied by always charging rents slightly lower than market. However, now Sheila was in ill health, and she wanted out quickly. Harry saw an opportunity to jump in and get a bargain price. Harry asked around to several agents and learned that most were using a GM of around 10. That simply meant that they took the total rental income for a year and multiplied it by the number 10 to calculate the value of the property. The units were rented out for an average of $500 apiece, so the monthly gross for 8 units was $4,000, and the annual gross was $48,000. When the GM of 10 was multiplied against this, it gave a value of $480,000 for the building. When Harry asked where the GM number had come from, a real estate agent admitted she didn't know. Another said it was simply a way of quickly quantifying the relationship between price and rental income in an area. For example, apartment buildings that were selling for around $500,000 were bringing in around $50,000 in gross annual rents. Hence, the GM of 10 was used. If prices moved up to $600,000 for buildings that grossed $50,000 in annual rents, then the GM would go up to 12. If prices moved down to $400,000 per $50,000 in rents, it would go down to 8. Harry asked why prices would go up or down in relationship to rents, and she answered that the fluctuations were caused by the cycles of supply and demand. Sometimes more people wanted apartment buildings. Other times, fewer wanted them, and demand dropped. She admitted it also had to do with the cost of money and prevailing interest rates. The agent asked if she could handle the transaction for Harry, but he declined, saying that he felt he was getting a good buy, and since the seller didn't want to use an agent, he was unwilling to pay for the service. The agent shook her head and wished him good luck. The agent also pointed out that the GM could move up or down depending on the condition of the building. An apartment house in terrible shape usually commanded a lower GM than one in tip-top shape. Harry conducted a survey of Sheila's building and discovered that there had been lots of deferred maintenance. The units had not been painted in years, and the carpeting was tattered. Also, many of the appliances were on their last legs. The tenants, however, were reluctant to complain because they were paying a rental rate that was below market. In addition, the roof needed repairs, and the building overall looked shabby. It was in need of a complete paint job on the outside and an upgrading of the landscaping. Harry went back to the agent and asked if a lower GM should apply because of the poor condition of the property. The agent shook her head. She said the demand for rental property was strong, and Sheila's apartment house wasn't really that bad. So Harry offered Sheila full price of $480,000. He agreed to put 20% down, $96,000, obtained from profits made on buying, renting, and selling single-family homes, and to attempt to get a mortgage for the balance from a bank. The purchase offer was, of course, contingent upon his getting financing. Getting the loan, however, proved to be more difficult than Harry had anticipated. The banks complained that he had no previous experience with apartment buildings. Further, he was stretched thin already because of his other real estate holdings. In the end, he obtained a 70% mortgage at an interest rate higher than the market rate, while Sheila carried back a second mortgage for 10% at the market rate. The sale took about 60 days to complete, and then Harry had the building. He had Sheila walk around and introduce him as the new landlord to each of the tenants. Then he was on his own. His first big shock came when the very next month, three of the tenants told him they were moving out. It turned out they were actually relatives of Sheila, and she had exaggerated the amount they were paying in rent. They were, in fact, paying only a fraction of the income Sheila had projected for them. When Harry called Sheila about this, she agreed. She said that she had put them down for a fair market rental rate, even though they were paying about less than half. "You can certainly rent it for what I said they were paying. I just credited them with half the rent because of debts I owed them in the past." Suddenly, Harry had a big rent-up problem. But his woes weren't over. As the old tenants moved out, they demanded their cleaning security deposits back. They each claimed to have paid Sheila $1,000, and it was fully refundable when they left, provided that the apartments were left in reasonably clean shape, which they were. Again, Harry called Sheila. She confirmed that she had the cleaning security deposits, but refused to turn them over. She said, "They weren't part of your purchase offer. You never mentioned them." Harry had to agree that was true, but said he never thought about it. She said she was sorry, but since it wasn't part of the sale, she considered these funds to be her money. Harry would have to pay back the cleaning security deposits out of his own funds. Harry had to dig deep to pay back the security deposits of the three moving tenants, and he was even more dismayed to learn that when the remaining five tenants eventually moved, he would have to pony up their deposits as well. On the other hand, he realized that as soon as he rented out the apartments, he would be able to charge a cleaning deposit to the new tenants, and that would help offset the drain on his cash.